Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
It is great to have you in church, and I'm excited to bring the next part of our Encountering Jesus series. Today, my message is called Encountering Jesus on Trial. Encountering Jesus on Trial. In this series, we're kind of looking at all these moments where people had an encounter with Jesus in the days before he went to the cross. And I love the fact that we did communion this morning. And we'll, I'm sure, be doing it again over this Easter period. But Jesus, an encounter with Jesus is an encounter with truth. An encounter with Jesus is an encounter with truth. And we're going to read part of the story together this morning in John 18 from verse 33, I think. Let's see what comes up. Yes, good. Okay, it says this. I can't read. Pilate, who was the governor of the area at the time, the Roman governor, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" Pilate replied, "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. I find no basis for a charge against him." Jesus, would you come and encounter with us now? God, would your grace and your truth cover us? Would you speak to us right now, Lord God? Any lie that we've believed about ourselves, any lie that we've believed about who you are, Lord God, I pray that your truth would come and set us free.
Amen.
Help me to preach this morning, Jesus, and tell the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wrestled with whether to tell a person that they have something stuck in their teeth? Have you ever had one of those moments where it feels really uncomfortable to tell the truth? Like when somebody's flying low. What's your like knee-jerk reaction in that moment? Is it like, I'm just going to pretend like it's because I'm British and it's really awkward to point out somebody's like weakness? But it's so awkward, isn't it? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they very clearly have their lunch stuck in their I'm really aware of my own teeth now. Am I good? Okay, you're telling me the truth. But you know when you're like going, I've got to stop it. Liam's like, you've got a bit of a bogey though. I might do, I've had a cold. He's getting his own back because usually it's me that's going meh, 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 when he's speaking. But have you ever been in that scenario where you're like looking at them and all you can't hear a word that they're saying because all you can think about is, you've got something stuck in your teeth, you've got something stuck in your teeth, you've got something stuck in your teeth. Have you ever been in that scenario where you're like wrestling with the awkwardness of telling the truth? Because the truth is this, truth is an uncomfortable necessity. We don't always like to hear the truth. We don't always like to respond to the truth. We don't always like to tell the truth, but the truth is an uncomfortable necessity. It's one of those can't live with it, can't live without it situations, isn't it? But I'm so thankful for the moment that I encountered Jesus and encountered the truth. For so long I had lived knowing stuff about me that wasn't the truth. For so long I had known about life and lived a small life because I hadn't yet encountered the truth of Jesus that was able to set me free. And I want to encourage you today that an encounter with Jesus is an encounter with truth. But what do we do when we encounter truth? What do we do when we encounter truth? I'll tell you some of the ways that I respond to truth. One of the ways I respond to truth is this: I get offended. I get offended. Anybody else been told the truth before and got massively offended? And you know, like, you know it's for your own good, but you don't want to hear it. I remember my mum, when I was growing up, was my youth pastor. I was one of the young leaders in the church, which is like, that's an interesting dynamic, just so as you know. And I remember her sitting me down one day and just being like, look, you're usually right, but you have got to learn to speak with tact. Like, so I was like, as a teenager, you wouldn't believe this, but as a teenager, I was a bit of a machine gun. I was like, the Bible says, or, you know, like a bit over dramatic about things, or like, do it better, you know, all that sort of behavior. And my mum was like, you're going to be a great leader, but you've got to learn how to speak with tact to people. Because I was just like, I'm just tell you the truth. But when she sat me down to have that conversation, I remember being like, how dare you tell me the truth? You ever do that? Like, how dare you tell me the truth? How dare you tell me I'm not being very good at something? How dare you? Have you ever been in one of those conversations where somebody tells you the truth and it causes you to get offended? It causes us to get offended. The Pharisees in this story of Jesus coming to the end of his life and going to the cross, as this moment had, the Pharisees, they'd been trying to find a way to arrest him because they were so offended by the truth that he was speaking. These group of religious leaders had become so offended by what Jesus was standing for that they had they actually arrested Jesus. And they'd already taken him into their courts, but again, couldn't find any reason. And then took him to Pilate to hand them over. I wonder, has there been times in your life where you've responded to truth like a Pharisee? Where somebody has told you the truth and the truth was very uncomfortable and you'd rather arrest that person in your life and build a fence of offense around them to keep you from feeling the pain of the truth. Have you ever responded like that? I respond like that all the time. That's the truth. But the truth is this: the only prison that offense puts you in is your own. You see, truth collides with a lie, which leads to offense, so you never get free. Because we'd rather hold on to the lie that we believe about ourselves than experience the truth. But this is amazing. Truth outlives your offense. You see, Jesus outlived the Pharisees' offense. The truth of who he was, the truth of his mission, why he was here, why he was going to the cross, and why he was going to be raised again to life on the third day. Truth outlived their offense. They thought they could kill it. They thought they could put it under arrest. They thought they could control it. But truth outlived offense. And Jesus's truth over us today will outlive any offense that we feel. What a great promise. Another thing that we experience when we encounter truth is fear. I don't know about you, but when somebody's told me the truth before, I've been like, oh, this is going to change everything. I don't know what it was like the first time you heard the message of Jesus preached to you, but something within me said, everything changes now. I know that everything's going to change. I remember being a 14-year-old girl who was living a whole different life to the one that her parents knew was happening in her life, living a whole different lifestyle, hanging out with the wrong people, doing the wrong things, just about managed to stay in school by the skin of my teeth. And I had an encounter with Jesus, and I knew that everything changed in that moment. I knew I had to go back to my school, back to my friends, back to that situation. I knew I had to change everything. I knew I had to say, I'm sorry, I can't hang out with you anymore. because you've got too much control over my life and I want to live for Jesus. And I can't live like that anymore. I had to step out of that, but I was afraid. In fact, the reason I knew what it was going to cost me to follow Jesus. I knew it was going to cost everything about the way that I was currently living, which I kind of liked. I knew it was going to cost me all my friends. I knew I might get beaten up. But in that moment, I had to make a choice to overcome the fear of everything changing and let truth reign in my life. Peter had this experience. You see, Peter was there when Jesus was arrested just before these verses that we've read. And as he's waiting outside of the place where he's being held captive and questioned and beaten, he's outside around this campfire and he's kind of keeping himself to himself and keeping discreet. And then this girl who worked in the area, she was like, "Hey, hang on a minute. You're one of them Jesus followers." And Peter's like, No, I'm not. And he kind of like just walks away. And then she sees him again. She's like, "No, you really are. You're definitely one of those Jesus followers." And he's like, No, I'm not. And the third time, she's like, "No, you really are." And then all of a sudden, Peter remembers that the night before, Jesus has said, "You're going to deny me three times." Because his fear got in the way. The truth of who he was, because he was a Jesus follower, drove him to be afraid. Maybe like me and like Peter, you've held Jesus, who is truth, at arm's length because you're afraid of what kind of effect it might have on your life. But the truth will outlive your fear. To have an encounter with Jesus is to have an encounter with grace and truth. And in John 1 verse 4, it says this about Jesus, that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Jesus completely full of grace and Jesus completely full of truth made his way onto the planet. Jesus, full of grace and truth. You see, Pilate, he makes this flippant statement, doesn't he? When Jesus is like, "I tell the truth." And Pilate's like, "Well, what is truth?" He has this moment of like, "Well, what is truth? Truth is whatever I want it to be. Truth is whatever I decide truth is. What even is truth?" And truth, this is the third thing that we learn about truth. Truth outlives our understanding. You see, in that moment, Pilate didn't understand who was stood in front of him. He didn't understand that there was Jesus, full of grace and full of truth, stood before him. He didn't understand the context of Jesus' truth in the picture of grace. The thing is this: truth without grace leads to rebellion. Truth without grace leads to rebellion. "Well, I don't want to do that because you've told me to do that." Oh gosh, how many times have I had that conversation this week? "Put your shoes on." "I don't want to." Grace and truth. Truth without grace leads to rebellion. But grace without truth leads to relativism. "Oh, truth's only like relative to me and my point of view." You see, Jesus was full of grace and truth. So when we encounter his truth, we also encounter his grace. We need both. How many times have we swung one way to the other way? Where we're like, "Oh, I just need the truth. I just need the truth." And it's like, yeah, you do. But you need to understand that in the picture of grace, that Jesus loves you, that he died for you while you're still sinners. Christ Jesus died for you. He loves you completely and you can never earn it on your own. You need him with you. Because we need truth and grace, because that leads to relationship. That leads to relationship with him. You see, grace saves us. Grace saves us from the penalty of sin, but truth sets us free from the pattern of sin. Shall I say it again? Are you ready? Grace saves us from the penalty of sin, but truth sets us free from the pattern of sin. We love this verse, don't we? That we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Truth being fed to us that will undo the lies and help us be transformed. Jesus said this in John 8 verse 31, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you
free. Amen.
God, that was just for you, Mike. I just laid him up there and he amen straight out of the gun there. That was amazing. If you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Let me explain this idea of grace and truth to you a little bit more. So I look down the row that you're sat on right now. Have a little look at the people you're sat with. Yeah. Are there any people on your row that need grace? Are there any people on your row that need truth? Amazing. So let's imagine that this is a row, like any row in our church right now. And there's all sorts of people that come into our church. It's wonderful. All sorts of people from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of places. And in this seat, this guy is called Gary. Just made him up. Gary's a businessman. He does really, really well for himself. He's built his own sort of amazing empire and he's doing really well. And Gary's sat in this seat here and he's doing amazingly, but he really struggles with like generosity. Like he's God's blessed him and he's done, built this amazing business, but he really struggles with being able to like be generous. He's not got he's always worried that he's not going to have enough. Does Gary need grace? Does Gary need grace? In the seat next to him is, I'm making up names now, I'm really hoping I'm not using anyone. Susan is in this seat, and Susan, she's a lovely, really, sweet lady, and has been coming to church for years, and Susan serves like on the kids team, and but Susan sat in her seat, she's found it really difficult to forgive her mum for something, and this little bit of her life where she's not felt like she can forgive her mum from this thing that she's done is just like eating her up inside, and there's just this like this side of her that's like just really bitter and it's really hard and it's really difficult. Susan sat in this seat. Does Susan deserve grace? Yeah. And then in the chair next to Susan, I've got to remember, next to Susan is this kid. This young man, and he's a teenager, and he's just like, you wouldn't believe it because he's got quite a lot of bravado, but he's like riddled with insecurity on the inside, like doesn't know who he is. His dad walked out on him when he was young, and he's just riddled with insecurity, and that's just driven him to just hang out with the wrong crowd and the wrong people, and it's getting him into all sorts of trouble. And does Jacob deserve grace? And then on the fourth chair, is, a lovely, faithful lady who is a bit gutted. She sat next to Jacob because she knows what's been going on in Jacob's life. And I need to make a name up where there's nobody in here. Mary. Mary, she's a... She knows, in fact, she doesn't just know what's going on in Jacob's life. She knows a lot of things about a lot of people. Don't pretend that you've not been Mary. And Mary's quite judgmental, actually, and she's always worried about what other people are doing. And she's so worried about what other people are doing, Mary likes to share that with other people. It's called gossip. That's Mary. And then this seat here, well, hang on. Does Mary deserve grace?
Yes.
Good. Mary's not sat next to Joseph, she's sat next to Jacob. Basically the same thing in Hebrew, I know. Okay. And then this seat, this is your seat. This is my seat. Do I deserve grace? Yes. Do you deserve grace? Yes. Absolutely. See, on every row, there's a row full of people in our churches that need grace. We need the fullness of Jesus's grace. I'm thankful that Jesus, that while I was still a sinner, Christ Jesus died for me. Like it wasn't a question in his mind. He was like, no, I'm going for you because you need my grace in your life. But here's the wonderful thing. He didn't just come full of grace. He came full of truth too, because all these people have encountered grace because they've said, Jesus, I know I need you. But all these people, when I list some of the things that are going on in their world, you're kind of all going, what? Awkward, right? Yeah. Because we need more than just grace. We need to encounter truth as well. We need to encounter truth as well. So if Jesus came to give us truth, in fact, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever comes to me comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is truth. Truth comes to us as well as grace. We have to encounter not just his grace, but we need to encounter his truth as well. And we have a choice of whether we become offended or afraid, or whether we choose to receive truth and grace. You see, Jesus in all his truth comes to the first person, I can't remember his name, Gary, comes to Gary. And Gary opens his word because Pastor John has sat next to him, or Pauline has sat next to him on a church on Sunday, and he's just started to share his fears about like never having enough. And instead of them judging Gary, they just say, hey, let's open God's word together. And God's word says this: it's more blessed to give than to receive. And suddenly this poverty mentality that's over a rich man, whom the sun comes. Suddenly, this moment of truth sets Gary free. You see, he didn't just come to save us and give us grace, but he came to give us truth so that we can be free. Grace saves us, truth frees us. Then we've got somebody else, Susan. I wish I'd thought this through beforehand. I can't remember my own name half the time. Oh, Susan. Susan's been living with this painful place where she's not forgiven somebody. And the word of God comes to her, and she's reading her Bible in the morning, and she comes across this verse that says, you need to forgive as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. And the reason why she's found it so difficult to love much, it's because she's forgotten how much Jesus has forgiven her. When you understand how much Jesus has forgiven you, it's way easier to love than forgive. Not easy, but way easier. And suddenly she reads these verses in her morning devotions, and she texts her friend and she says, hey, I need you to know that this is what God said to me today and I need to do it. Will you help me? Her friend at church is like, yeah, of course, I'll stand with you in that. And suddenly what happens is truth sets her free. Truth sets her free. And guess what? God does an amazing work in her life and reconciles that relationship with her mum, because we have a ministry of reconciliation. How amazing is that? Grace saves us and truth sets us free. And then who's this person? Somebody remind me. Jacob. Oh, I love Jacob. God, when I look at Jacob, I see this amazing life. He's got such purpose in his life, but he just doesn't see it himself yet. And his youth leader comes alongside him one set day and says, do you know what, Jacob? Enough is enough. You need to understand that God, people might look at the outside appearance, but God looks at your heart. And Jacob looks with scared eyes for a second, because Jacob knows what's going on in his heart. And then he says, and do you know what? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone and the new has come. And this youth leader starts to speak life over him, and he starts to believe it and apply it to his life. And suddenly Jacob, who was full of insecurity and didn't know how to live his life, suddenly he gets free and he's like, I don't need to live like this anymore. I am God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And suddenly his whole identity changes. How cool is that? And then truth comes and encounters Mary. Mary, here's some truth. And it's very uncomfortable, because the Bible says, don't look at the speck of dust in somebody else's eye when you've got a plank coming out of your own. I love that story. I need to preach that. Jesus is just genius, isn't he? He's telling these amazing stories. And he's like, hey, stop looking at the speck of sawdust in Anna's eye when you've got a plank of wood in your own, Lisa. You can't even get close enough to have a look at the little speck of dust in her eye. Have you seen that plank coming out of your eye? And suddenly, what's her name? Mary is like, Mary's like, oh man, I need to stop gossiping. I need to stop judging people, because look how much Jesus has forgiven me. Look how much I am in need of his grace and his love. And the Holy Spirit starts to go to work in her life, and she starts to renew her mind, and she starts to hold herself accountable for gossiping with her usual gossip friends. And suddenly Mary gets free. And then this is the really awesome bit. My Bible is full of truth. And we're in a church full of people that love one another and are committed to doing this journey with one another. And there are people that will come alongside your life, and you'll open up your Bible when you read it in the morning or whenever that is, or you come to church on a Sunday, or you come to one of our grow groups or whatever it is, and suddenly an encounter of truth will set you free. What is it that you need today? What is the area that as soon as I sat in this and said, this is your seat, you went, bum, 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 big alarms going off everywhere, because you're like, please don't ask me what my sin is. I should come around the room with a roving mic. No, I'm joking. Might get to some truth quicker. But there's truth for us. There's truth for us. Our word is full of truth for us today, because Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. Imagine a church full of grace and truth. Imagine if we got really good at coming alongside one another and just saying, I am full of grace and I'm going to champion you on, but here is some truth today. Imagine being part of a church community like that. You see, Pilate underestimated the man stood before him. But Jesus, full of grace and full of truth, chose to die in order to refute the lies that we'd believed. But here's Jesus, and he stands before us today full of grace and full of truth. Pilate, he just looks upon what's happening in front of him. He's not even sure why Jesus is here. In fact, he's like, you don't want to kill this man. This man, I can't see anything wrong with this man. But whatever you know. And he stood before Jesus and he minimized truth to whatever Pilate's current experience was. The Pharisees became so offended that they had imprisoned truth because they couldn't comprehend grace. Peter was denied Jesus because he was so afraid of the impact of truth on his life. But I want to encourage you today that there is this amazing Jesus who is full of grace and who is full of truth, that he doesn't just want you to experience the saving grace of who he is, but he wants you to experience the freedom that comes with truth. An encounter with truth, an encounter with Jesus, is an encounter with grace and truth. And I'm going to pray for us and then hand over to these guys. I don't know what it is that you are experiencing today. I don't know whether you needed to be reminded just of how much grace is available to you. I don't know whether it's actually that you need some truth to set you free. There's areas of your life and you're like, oh, why is this just so difficult, God? Or oh, I'm keeping you at arm's length here, Jesus. But it's time for an encounter with truth. Because that's who Jesus is. Jesus, we thank you that when we have an encounter with you, we have an encounter with grace that covers a multitude of sins. That your word says that the old is gone and the new has come, that I am a new creation in you, Christ Jesus, that your grace paid the price for us so that we can be free. And God, I also thank you that you've given us your word and you've given us your Holy Spirit that doesn't come to condemn us but comes to convict us so that we can be free. That whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we choose to receive your word today. We repent again of some of these things. We thank you that when we open your word and your truth confronts something in us, that all we have to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry and I need some help. And your spirit, Lord God, starts to produce a new fruit in us. Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you would just come and just point a finger on some truth that you want to speak into us. That you're so kind not to come and point out 100 things all in one go, but God, what is the now thing that you want to point at and say, do you know what? I want you to have freedom here. Holy Spirit, come and speak. We're going to stand to our feet. Mike's going to share a little word and then we're going to pray, okay?
I hope this helps some of you. My mum's been dead a long time. I can probably share this now. Mum was alcoholic and it choked up now. When she got drunk, she was evil. She beat me as a child, black and blue, and would say evil things about the family. She was into spiritualism, fortune telling, Ouija boards, all that sort of stuff. And some of the evil things she said and the beatings I had, I want to tell you now something. I don't want you to go through the same. It took me to my 60s to be able to say, Mum, I forgive you. Don't leave it as long as I did, because you carry it around like an open wound. Listen to what's been said. Forgive now. It sets you free.
Thank you, Mike. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, has anybody else noticed the way that Mike worships? It's so quiet. Because those who have been forgiven much love much. In other words, he knows what Jesus has saved him from. Repeating that pattern, Jesus has saved him from that, and Jesus has come and in his kindness healed those things, and so his praise is always exuberant because he realizes, gosh, Jesus, you have the work. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you love me right through that. So why don't we just start to thank him, like Mike. Start to lift your hands.